Thank you, Joe and Gail, members of the choir. I think that's one of the best songs that you could sing about remembering how they'll know us, that we are Christians by our love. We're starting, as Pastor Heather said, a sermon series this week that's in conjunction with the small group studies, the book by Tom Berlin about reckless love and Jesus' command to love our neighbors. And so I want to share with you the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. The setting is that Jesus has been entered into Jerusalem for the final week of his life. You know, that Palm Sunday has... ...by people, the Pharisees, scribes, the Sadducees, questioning his authority. Who do you think you are to be doing this? Questions about the resurrection and the Sadducees who didn't believe in a life after death, or you know, had this elaborate thing about what if a guy died and then he married his or his wife died and then he married the next wife or so on, and what happens, and questions about paying taxes to Caesar, and all these questions kind of tripped Jesus up. And he answered all of them wisely, appropriately, correctly. And then we come in chapter 12 to where somebody asked him, an expert of the law, a Pharisee, or a scribe, about what's the greatest, most important, the first commandment. And so that's where we'll read Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask Jesus any question. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Well, several years ago, I had a friend, a classmate of one of our daughters that, you know, we were bleacher buddies for many years back in high school days and stuff. But he was working on his roof and actually fell off his roof at his house. So it was actually, you know, had some pretty serious back injuries. It was a pretty serious, but it scared me because different times I would work on the roof too. And made me think about, gosh, what would I do if like I was sliding down the roof? Or, I mean, I kind of wondered about what, you know, what would happen. And in my mind, I kind of imagined if I was like on a roof, like sliding down, I thought, I think I'd get on my hands and knees and then put my feet down, press them down. So like when I got down to the gutter, like my feet would go in the gutter and keep me from going off the roof. Does that sound like anybody think about that stuff? So in the house that we lived in, this parsonage, back at our previous church, it was a very simple roof line. It was just, you know, it was a raised ranch, so it's like a southern, in a slight slope. And we had a lot of trees in this yard, such that, you know, wintertime, the leaves would get in the gutters, and then the gutters would get clogged up, and then when it froze, there'd be ice, and we'd have ice dams and so on. And so in the fall one year, again, we had all these leaves had fallen down there in the gutters, and it was starting to rain. It was going to get cold coming up, and I thought, you know what, maybe I ought to just check that before you know, it gets worse. And it was damp a little bit. It was kind of a misty, so that there was some water on the roof line, and I had a ladder. And again, it's a ranch, so it's maybe 8 to 10 feet, so it's not all that high. But I had a ladder, get up on the southern exposure part of the roof, clean out some of the leaves so that when it gets worse, it would drain out, and walk to the top of the roof, and then stepped over to the northern side. Looked just the same, you know, because I was going to check that side as well. It was damp, it was bright, or kind of shiny. It looked just the same as the southern side, except the northern side of the roof was frozen. And as soon as I stepped over and was on that side, now I'm standing there sliding down the roof. In a moment, I knew there was an 8 to 10 foot drop ahead of me, and what was I going to do? I got down on my hands and knees, put my feet there, and waited for the gutter, and sure enough, got to the gutter, my feet went in the gutter, and it was maybe 8 to 10 feet. Maybe I wouldn't have got hurt that bad, but I didn't fall off at all. Caught myself, had enough momentum to push back and get up over the roof, and I learned an important lesson that day. Don't go up on the roof, like even if it's, you know. But I guess what I always thought about that, I was grateful because in my mind I had rehearsed it. And for whatever reason, I had thought about what would I do if I was in that situation. And otherwise, I mean, I'm not sure what I'd have done if I'd have panicked or thought or, you know, but slid down and once you got to the bottom. But because I'd thought about it and prepared for it, I mean, mentally, not ever thinking I would ever be dumb enough to be in that situation, but when I found out I was, I knew what to do. And it worked. What we're thinking about today is we're getting ready now in this next sermon series, and we're thinking together about a vision for our future of the church. And we're coming back to the foundation, the basics. Any kind of a future vision has got to be based upon the very heart, the essence of what God has always been about, the teachings of Christ, but the teachings of God. And so the foundation of loving God with all that we've got, beginning with love, starting the day with that, and preparing then for whatever it is that we're going to face in any given day. So would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you this day for a time to gather in your name, but to open our hearts to your scriptures, to your words, so that we might be prepared for whatever it is that we will face in any given day. We thank you for this time now, and we listen for your word, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're starting this series now on using the lesson book that also in many small groups across the church are using by Tom Berlin that talks about reckless love and Jesus' command to love our neighbor. And really, the words that we've heard them so often, we know what it is. They'll know we're Christians by our love. We want to love our neighbor. It's easy to have those words within our heart. It's a little bit harder to live them out and to know what that looks like on a daily basis. In the setting, the scripture reading this morning, again, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, everybody's been grilling Jesus about, you know, who is it that you think you are coming in here telling us what to do and what to think and how to live. And Jesus answered all their questions. He simply tried to assure them that he was there to usher in God's kingdom that was near, that they would be a part of it. And when he was asked about this question about, okay, well, what is the greatest commandment, the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, quoting out of Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 4, that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." Now, part of that passage, the rest of that passage goes on to talk about in Deuteronomy, the Israelites were commanded to write this out and to put it like in different places in your home so that you'll remember it. Actually, I have in my pocket a mezuzah, which if you're familiar with a mezuzah in the Jewish tradition, it's actually something that goes along, they put in the doorway of their house, and this is back from Jesus' day and even beyond that, a little box that they put upon their doorpost of their house, and inside is a little scripture, a parchment that actually has that Bible verse in it to remind them. In many ways, it goes on to say, keep these words I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand and as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. See, part of the practice was, again, they'd put that scroll, that parchment, and roll it up and place it in the mezuzah and put it on their doorway so that every time they come in and out of their door, they'd even touch it or remember the words that they were to love God with everything they've got. In other words, all along, there's like a practice so that, you put into place reminders about, oh, yeah, that's right. How do I love God with everything I've got? Now, when Jesus was asked this question, he answered just like any other Jewish person would have answered. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then what Jesus did next was more unique in that he said, and there's a second that's just as important, to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, he's quoting a passage out of Leviticus. It was in the Old Testament scriptures, but it hadn't been elevated to this level. To be on the very same level, the same importance of loving God with everything you've got. And so Jesus would say, here's the foundation, here's what's most important, as every other Jewish person would have known, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and now to also love your neighbor as yourself. Now, scribe actually answered Jesus, said, good answer, that's right. And Jesus was pleased, says, okay, you're getting it, you understand, you're not far from the kingdom of heaven, you're making good growth, that's great. But then, as we would all know, actually living that out, the first step is to have it, to remember it, to know it, and then it's how to live it out. And to know exactly what that love looks like. And we have to be honest, it's not easy. And it comes at a price, a cost. To ourselves, when we care for others and love others, it means putting them even ahead of us and being willing to give of ourselves for the sake of others. Now, they didn't understand that completely, I'm guessing, at the time when Jesus was talking to these Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, because they hadn't seen it all played out in Jesus' life. Because in just a few days, he would have been rejected, he would have been arrested, he would have been gone through a kind of a farce of a legal trial and a conviction and crucified by the Roman Empire. And they're then even on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And facing his own death as a way to be faithful to what God had called him to be and do, to bring God's love and forgiveness to this world. Now, we know the power of God's love was to overcome death upon the cross, that Jesus was alive, he rose again, he appeared to those disciples. And we're guessing as time went on, they started to say, oh, okay, now I get it. That Jesus gave of himself for our sake, that's what love looks like. And so a few years later, the Apostle Paul was trying also to describe what this relationship with God would look like and how to live that out. And in his letter to the Romans, he's trying to look back and describe now what had happened with Jesus and how his life was the very definition, the example of love. Because he lifts up the whole thought about while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely would anyone die for a righteous person or give of themselves or even give of themselves a full sacrifice of their life for a good person. I mean, that's even rare in itself. But here's the kicker. Jesus gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. He proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Keep that in your hearts and mind. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In many ways, John Wesley would call that prevenient grace. that Christ's love for us, God's love for us, came to us before we deserved it, before we did anything. And it was in many ways, Jesus, I think, showed us this is what love truly looks like. A willingness to give of ourselves and sacrifice ourselves before those who don't even deserve it. You see how reckless that is. Reckless, I mean, because we normally think about reckless as a bad thing. Because you don't want to be reckless and put yourself at risk or other. But when we talk about reckless love, the very definition of love that Paul talks about is someone who would give of himself, even die for those of us while we were yet sinners. And put others' interests ahead of their own. And care for others and sacrifice of themselves out of love. That's truly what love looks like. And so it's risky to follow Jesus and love others as we love ourselves. It comes at a cost. It will hurt. And we can expect that it'll be difficult. You know, one of the things I appreciate in Tom Berlin in his book, he says, when we follow Jesus, when we walk with Jesus, we can expect that he will take us out of our comfort zone. That's how we grow. That's how we stretch. We'll come across people who are unlovable, who are difficult to live with. But the thought is, love them anyway. Because that's what God has shown us in Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So as we go along throughout this series for the next several weeks, the acronyms of each chapter will end up showing with the phrase, be love. And part of what Reverend Berlin says is that we want to be love. Begin with love as the first verse or the first word. And I guess what I want us to suggest to you is that you would have a pattern or a routine or something that would remind you at the very day when you begin. When you get out of bed, when you think about what your day is going to be, you start with, I'm going to love people the way God has loved me. That you begin with love. That there's a routine or something that at least puts it in your mind ahead of time so that when it happens, you know what to do. When someone cuts you off driving, you remember to love them anyway. When someone does something that's not right for you, you remember to love them anyway. It doesn't mean you don't correct them or try to provide guidance for them, but you do it out of love, compassion. Because what? While we were yet sinners is when Christ died for us. And if we have that in our mind to begin with love, to start with that, then it's more likely we'll carry it out when those circumstances happen to us during the day. I appreciate, you know, a lot of, I've learned being as a fire chaplain and a police chaplain, when people are in emergency situations, they do what they've practiced. You know, it's difficult to come up with things on the fly. You go back to what you've practiced and you've prepared for. I mean, for example, if there's like a punt that you're going to cover, you know, you do what you're prepared for. I mean, sometimes that kind of breaks down. For those of you that saw the Iowa State game yesterday, I mean, a simple thing, you kind of just forget maybe what you practiced and it didn't turn out so well. And I love both games. I mean, I love both teams and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, an example of you prepare for something by having it in your mind ahead of time and then practicing it. And then when those situations arise, you'll be more able to do what you've practiced and carry it out. So the word today is begin with love. In the routines, the practice of your daily routine, start your day with love, reminding yourself, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what I'm going to do today. Have a devotional time, I mean a routine, and then perhaps even things in your car or reminders like a mezuzah in your house or scriptures or words that are reminders to you that a part of your routine that you begin with love, you're reminded about love, and so that when those things happen, you'll be better prepared to act appropriately. I want to advise you, don't ever go up on the roof when it's slippery. But if you did, you know, there's at least one way to put your feet down, so on your hands and knees, catch the gutter so you won't roll off. At least now you know what to do if you're ever in that situation. But seriously, more importantly, to begin your day with love is to remind yourself that God loves you so much that he gave his only son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if he could do that for us, what should we do for others in the day that we're about to start? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We'll know that we can consistently do that with the help of God's Holy Spirit, with the guidance and remembrance of what we've practiced, with other people that are on this journey with us that encourage us and remind us about how we live that out, knowing it's going to be difficult, knowing it's going to be hard, but also knowing that's how we will truly find the greatest joy in our lives, when we can follow Jesus. Begin each day with love. Love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. That's our hope. That's our vision. That's what we want to be as followers of Jesus. Amen. Well, this time we'd like to continue in our worship by giving you an opportunity to respond by sharing your gifts, your talents, and specifically with an offering this morning. And to do that this morning, I do want to share with you a special video. And our ushers are going to come forward and receive the offering. And while they're doing that, we've got a video that has been prepared by Cliff Pym and Aaron Christopher. They kind of have been leading our stewardship effort. And you might recall that we had Birdies for Charity earlier this summer. And also, we had tied that in with our Strike a Match campaign. And so they're going to say a little bit first. I'll give you a little bit more information afterwards. But kind of to wrap that up and let you bit report on the Birdies for Charity and the Strike a Match, we'll watch this video as we receive our offering.
What I'm most excited about are the vital ministries and programs that we'll be able to continue here at the church and throughout the community.
And the little extra from John Deere, the maps, the 1 to 2,000s, are just a bonus.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Fantastic. It is a win.
What about the Strike a Match campaign?
Well, when we said we may not do a Strike a Match campaign next year, I still think we should do Birdies for Charity.
I think we should. And if we do as well as we did this year, they might have to rename it Eagles for Charity next year.
And you know what? Next year I'll take the part.
Sounds great.
Okay, so they're out on the golf course. It hasn't gone viral yet, but we'll see how that video is. But part of what they were saying is, you know, we did the Birdies for Charity as a good thing to get started. We had $20,000-some come in through Birdies for Charity. And we also had used that with our Strike a Match. We knew that in looking ahead to the end of the year, we were looking at a $40,000 to $50,000 shortfall. So individuals in the church had given so much and invited the whole congregation to match that gift. We wanted to be sure that everyone knew that Birdies for Charity happened earlier this summer, but people can still participate in Strike a Match. A special gift to kind of get us through, prepare for the end of the year. And so between now and the next few weeks, you can still give to Strike a Match as a way to end this year or get ready to be strong this year financially in the life of the church. So with that, we'll continue with our offering.
Praise God from
Let us join together in the prayer of dedication. Lord Almighty, you have challenged us to rise to the work of loving you and loving others. This task is easier said than done, but we are willing to commit ourselves to your commandments and to spread your reckless love across the face of the earth. Bless these gifts we dedicate today, that they might be used in the work of your reckless love, and that they might be signs of our willingness to give away all that we have to do the work of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What
leaning on the everlasting arms.
You're invited to join us for a time of fellowship, coffee and donuts and rolls out in the upper fellowship hall. You might notice there's a lot of garden produce there as well from our garden ministry you're able to take home with you. Next week we'll continue our series on reckless love and expanding the circle. And this week, again, I would invite you to think about what reminders, what routines do you have that will help you begin every day with love so that you will be love with every person that you meet. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.